But now back to where we were last week at the British Festival of Science in Liverpool. So many surprises.
That's a noisy creature. A display at the British Science Festival of all sorts of sounds connected even with a kangaroo, I see. And what's your name?
My name is Ambrosine.
Ambrosine.
Yes, exactly.
From which university?
The University of Liverpool.
And here you've got models of all the different creatures, elephants, seahorses, you name it, and they make little noises when you press that, press a button for me. Sounds like a roar. What is that?
That's the Eva Grumble, the elephant.
And what are you doing having all these noises available for the general public?
You can basically separate it into two groups. There's the animals that you know make sounds, but they can also make different sounds, like the elephant that we just played. And then there's the animals that you would never think they can produce sounds, like the fish, the seahorses, the beetles. The more we learn about these animals and the more we can understand how the sounds they produce affect their environment, the way that they communicate between each other, how important these sounds are for their life. So not only are we presenting the different sounds that you can have, we all research how sound either affects animals, so human noise, for example, from human activities can impact different animals, but also how sounds can be found in different environments. So if you go and talk to the lady over there, she did a whole project on the different types of sounds you can find in a pond.
And I thought ponds were silent.
Exactly. And she actually found that there's a lot of insects in these ponds that make a lot of different noises.
Could you go to the kangaroo and see what it makes? Make me feel at home? That's a bit raw. Bit angry, isn't it, or what?
So this sound is often produced by males to communicate between each other when they...
Competing for females.
Exactly, yes. But you also have another type of sound produced by females when they're interacting with their youngs.
And how's the work going to, say, protect the animals, especially underwater, from the installations that we're putting up there and even the big tankers going past?
The best way to protect animals is to understand them and to understand how the different human activities can impact them. Yeah. Their foraging behaviors.
So much, isn't it? But let me just drop a name. Her name is Jodie Rowley. And she's at the Australian Museum in Sydney, and she does frog identifying because they've recorded all the different sounds, and you can send in, or in fact you can go to a website where it go river or something, and you can identify them very, very quickly.
Yeah, I think there's a very similar website that exists for fish as well.
Could you just play me finally the fish? I always thought fishes were noiseless.
So this is the red drum.
The red drum.
And then we have the haddock.
A noisy haddock.
A noisy haddock.
Oh.
And so these noises are produced by their swim bladder, which is sack of air, basically, which is...
Helps them go up and down.
Exactly. And they have specialized muscles that press against that air sac and produce these sounds.
Gosh, that's where bagpipes came from.
Yes, exactly. Very similar, yes.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Animal communication, much more complex than we ever imagined. Unless you're a Dr. Doolittle, of course. But as the late Jane Goodall made so clear, you have to organise telling experiments to understand really what creatures are telling us. And we shall have a full past science show celebrating Dr. Goodall this coming summer.